This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello everyone and welcome to a very special Liverpool Echo podcast. I'm your host Sam Carroll and today I'm joined by an absolute dream team of women's football journalists and personalities. We've got Emma Sanders of the BBC, Catherine Batte, who you might know from her wildly successful loan at the Echo, but now of Daily Mail fame, and Sarah Halpin, Everton Women's Media Maestro. They've all kindly agreed to be here with me this evening. And we've come together in the same week the fixtures for the new women's season will be announced to discuss the challenge of growing the female game and how clubs can work alongside the media to allow better coverage. I'll also be asking Emma, Catherine and Sarah about their own route into football and the media, the challenges they may have faced and any advice they might have for aspiring young journalists who are listening to the podcast tonight. So Emma, I'll start with you because it was probably your tweet last week that gave me the idea for this kind of special show that we're doing, which we'll come back to kick off the podcast with shortly. Tell everyone a little bit about who you are and how you became Emma Sanders of the BBC fame.
That's a strong word. I went to University of Salford, studied journalism there, graduated 2015, which is years ago now. I'm getting old. And then I actually did a bit of work at the Echo, a bit of freelance work there. I was obviously covering a lot of Liverpool, a lot of non-league football, which I then passed over to you, didn't I, Sam? Passing over the baton. But while I was there, I was really keen to get involved with women's football. And during my sort of freelance years, I tried to build contacts and get as much involved in the game as I possibly could. So then when I then started working for the BBC from around sort of summer of 2017, probably from 2018 when I started a contract, I was, you know, just really, really keen to get as much women's football on the website as I possibly could. That is still one of my main aims now. I try to do that on a daily basis since the summer. Since the World Cup really in the summer, I've sort of joined a bit more of a formal women's football team at the BBC online, but we work collaboratively with radio and TV as well. So from there, it's just a case of, just trying to work with clubs, working with the FA. We're even trying to work with clubs in NWSL and stuff now as well. So we're just trying to grow the game as much as possible. And like I say, that's a passion of mine. So a lot of it I used to do in my free time. But thankfully now, you know, I've got a team around me and my editors are quite supportive of me. As I said in the tweet, I think everyone needs to do better. And that includes the media and that includes myself. So I still think there's a lot of work to be done. But yeah, that probably sums up my last 5 years in probably the most simplest form I can.
And Sarah, we used to do the Blue Room podcasts together, the Everton podcast, and now you are the go-to woman for Everton women media. You're there at most of the matches, I think, if not all of them, and have a really close relationship with the girls in the squad. So tell people a little bit more about your own journey.
Yeah, I've been very, very fortunate, I feel. Obviously, from being a kid, as long as I've remembered, I've been a massive football fan, a massive Everton fan. And I started going to watch Everton women when I was probably about 8 years old and followed them back then. And just the growth in the game has been fantastic to see over recent years. There's a long, long way to go still, we know that. But I actually started out just off my own back going to the women's games and just ask people within the club if they'd mind me grabbing interviews with the girls after the games and stuff like that. Like you said, we used to do podcasts with the Blue Room and stuff like that. And I just felt that there wasn't really enough in the way of interviews and post-match stuff like you see, you know, from all the men's games, you know, you get in the review, the rundown on the match players' mouths and getting some more content out there for them. But I just did it for me, for my own YouTube channel and stuff like that. And actually, I this is something I, you know, a massive praise for Everton over. They saw what I was doing and they liked what I was doing and they sort of said, well, would you like to get involved with maybe doing it sort of with us, for us kind of thing? And that's to that point now where for the last two seasons, I've been fortunate enough to travel home and away with the team on the team coach and providing match day content, getting to Finch Farm and providing content with them. And I just love it. I love the girls. I love the sport. And you know, they're just such a great team. Everybody, I feel like the girls will back me on this as well. In women's football, there is a really nice vibe and a kind of togetherness and closeness. So it's great to be a part of that. It's been great for me personally in my own self to be a part of it. But yeah, I just want to, you know, Emma said it there, and I feel the same. There's so much more to be done. I constantly think to myself, gosh, Sarah, you'd need to be on top of this. You need to be doing more. But I think collectively, we all need to support each other, and that's how we'll all be able to do more, because we all need support, and you can't do it all on your own, can you? And I'm sure the girls will back me on this, that sometimes you do feel like you're fighting an uphill battle a little bit. We're trying to get media out there, trying to get as much content as you'd like to. But for now, certainly, I'm loving my role. I'm very, very grateful to Everton, and hopefully we'll be able to push on and all do more for all the women's teams going with.
And when you're travelling on the team bus, is there a little path in the back of your head that thinks someone gets injured or gets sick here? They might ask me to put my boots on and I'll get a game.
I was chatting to someone the other day and they were like, why don't you do a trial? I said, do you know what? I might have a word with the staff, just be like, just for laughs, be like, oh, I really want to sit through. And you know, who knows? You never know. Nah, that's a bit insulting to our girls, I think. I'll just scrub the boots for them if they need that or something. I'd love it. If they want to do a friendly and throw me on, you know, for 20 minutes, I'd take that all day long, mate.
And for anyone that doesn't know, Catherine obviously came to the Echo on loan from the Daily Mail late last year. And, you know, I'll admit myself that I didn't know a lot about women's football. I think Catherine was quite inspiring to me in terms of how much she knew and how knowledgeable she is of the game. And we're also part of the goalkeepers union together as well, aren't we, Catherine? So, unfortunately, as a Hull fan, we've just been relegated from the Championship. So, tell us a little bit about your football story.
Well, since you've thrown that dig in, I'll say if Sarah does have a trial at Everton, it'll probably go better than your experience trying to save penalties against the Everton players.
Less said about that one, the better.
Brilliant.
I've kind of been watching women's football since probably about the age of 9 or 10. I think my dad kind of first introduced me to it and said, you know, look, England women were on the TV. And that was kind of first how I got into watching women's football, watching England games, because the sort of closest teams to where I lived in Hull was Doncaster and Lincoln, so I couldn't sort of go and watch them sort of regularly. I remember going to an England game at Doncaster, actually, and that was where I first interviewed a player. I asked Kelly Smith if she was Kelly Smith, and she said yes, and that was the first interview in women's football that I did, about the age of 9. I didn't have a programme or anything to ask her to sign, so just asked her if she was who she was, just to check. But yeah, no, it's kind of gone through my kind of journalism career and got involved with student radio when I was at York Uni, and went out and spoke to a few kind of local teams and got involved with the societies and stuff like that, which prepared me quite well for doing a master's at Sheffield. And then was fortunate enough to get a place on the Males grad scheme and had my very enjoyable loan spell in Liverpool for 5 months. And thankfully, the Echo were very accommodating and let me go and do a lot of stuff with the women's teams in terms of going to the training grounds and going to games. And they gave me a lot of freedom with that. So that was obviously very helpful. And I think, you know, a lot of the other regional kind of places could probably take a lot of what from what the Echo are doing, and since I've gone as well, obviously Sam's done quite a lot of stuff as well with both teams, so that's obviously very good, and hopefully now being back in London with the Mail, it'll be something I'll be able to continue to do if I get the chance to do so.
Well, last week on Twitter, Emma, to come back to you and we'll kind of start here, you wrote that women's football still blows my mind. I try so hard to get content out there and so many things make it difficult, which are easily avoidable. Press releases, stats, communication and info should be the bare minimum. I want to write about it, so don't make it difficult. So, you know, to kind of just talk about for now the challenges that we all face in kind of promoting, you know, women's football and women's sport. What are the main kind of things that you feel prohibit you maybe?
Yeah, I probably needed a bit more coffee when I wrote that tweet. yeah, I mean, I will just say, since that tweet, I have spoken to the FA and I have spoken to a couple of clubs and sort of given my feedback and asked them to sort of listen to ways in which I think they can help. I think the first thing for me is the press access. Just make it easier to get hold of information. So, for example, there's a lot of clubs in the WSL who don't even tweet their full team lineups before a game, which to me is quite a basic thing. You've got fans there who are trying to learn about the game. And if you're trying to attract new fans as well, you know, if they see a player that they like and they don't know who they were because, you know, they haven't got a team sheet and there wasn't anything tweeted before the game, then how are they then meant to go back and then start sort of following the journey of that player and therefore following her team? And, you know, I think it's basic stuff like that where that for me is a bare minimum. Things like press releases, a lot of stuff like that. You know, you don't get on time or you don't get in advance, which just makes it easier to prepare content. You know, if we've got a busy day on the news desk at BBC and I get a press release which is, you know, arrives 10 minutes after they've already announced the news on Twitter or on their own official website, then my editors aren't going to be in any rush to get that news out there. And also, you know, they're not going to be in any rush to add anything that's already on the club's website, because if people already know about it, then by the time you get the news out an hour later, you know, it's difficult then to try and persuade them to give more to that piece of content. So from that side of it, I think clubs can be more helpful. I'd like to see more press conferences in the game. I've said this a lot. I'm not expecting them to do it at every game because I don't think there's enough media there at the moment. So that's where I think there are somebody in the media. I want to see us do more because I think you should have somebody from media at least every game in WSL. I mean, it's the top flight league in women's football, you know. And unfortunately, there are games that go ahead where, you know, they don't have any media. You need to get the manager in front of the press. You need to get them in front of the media, delivering messages, delivering information to the fans and to the media. Don't just do it on the big games. There was press conferences that they did when they played games at the men's stadiums last season. So the opening weekend, you know, they had when they had the Manchester derby at the Etihad. You had Nick Cushing coming out and doing a press conference for Manchester City. Why not do that a lot more often? And to be fair, Manchester City are actually they're definitely one of the best clubs in women's football in terms of the press access. They do that a lot more regularly. But, you know, do this for several games throughout the season. Don't just do it for the big showcase ones. They're just a few things that I would like to see improved upon. But just in general, to sum it up, make information more easily accessible, have better communication with the media, because in turn then you will then have more communication with your fans and more engagement with your fans, and ultimately that's what women's football needs at the moment.
And is that something maybe saying in your role when you're going across the country with Everton? You know, obviously we're giving you the opportunity to, you know, speak to the players and the management and put their faces and their names out there, like Emma's saying. And sometimes are you looking at other club setups and maybe thinking, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Can some club surprise you with their kind of lack of content and lack of effort maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. And I don't think there's a single team really that is guilt-free when it comes to that. I think every club, every team in the top flight could be doing more. Emma's just said it there about the communication with the press and the media and stuff like that. And, you know, not getting team lineouts out, not, you know, how are people meant to learn more and get involved if you don't know who you're watching? It is, and that's what I've really tried to do is have to, you know, I'll get a post-match with Willie Kirk after every game. So that's getting his face out there. You know, he's doing stuff with the Echo and various other things, which is great that people are getting involved and I'm able to get the girls out there, getting their faces, their voices. And just having that rapport with them as well, because I think, and you girls will be with me on this, I'm sure as well, they're not, you know, the girls are so wise to it. They can see through if somebody's just there to ask the basic questions. And I think it's about really showing that you've got a passion for it and having that genuine passion for it. That's how you get the best out of out of the players, out of the manager and stuff as well. And, you know, what you're saying about the big press conferences and stuff, and it's all over Sky Sports News, isn't it? When there was the derby at Anfield, when there was the derby at the Etihad and then at White Hart Lane and stuff. That should be, you know, definitely a lot more regular, because it's as if, you know, the World Cup's there and it's like women's football's everywhere. You can't get away from it, which is great. But then, you know, when you're seeing these girls playing at the biggest stage and they're, you know, but then the way they're living in their club life and day-to-day life is nothing like that. So I think it needs to become more professional. The media need better access, more access. And yeah, I'd love to see more clubs doing stuff like getting interviews out there, post-match stuff. And just look at the men's game. Look how much is posted on that. And I know we're a long way from the money and everything else there, but there is an interest. And we need to provide those people with content to feed their interest. Otherwise, you know, you fear that it'll dwindle away. And now more than ever, we need to be on that and getting the content regular and making it as good as possible and easy accessible as possible.
Do you think that's the challenge then from our side, Catherine? What Sarah's touched on there, that, you know, for example, I remember when you were at the Echo and the Chelsea women manager, she kind of criticised the pitch that Liverpool played on. And I think because it kind of struck a chord of with the club, you know, on a wider scale of, you know, why are Liverpool top of the league but their women's team are playing on this pitch? There was a lot of interest, and suddenly a lot of people are asking questions and want to cover it. And then probably the next game, it was probably only you there from the wider press, wasn't it? And everything kind of, you know, for want of a better phrase, goes back to normal in that sense. So is that where probably the media need to improve from our end of having this kind of desire and this, you know, coverage all the time and not just, oh, that's a pretty big story, we should cover that?
Yeah, definitely. And Emma and Sarah probably see this as well. I mean, me and Emma were both at the press days for Anfield when they played the derby, and you could see Kanye Sky were there and a few people from other places. And then, but you don't see them at matches. You know, me and Emma would go to games and we'd report on the games, but there wouldn't be the same people that were there, you know, a few weeks ago when the big news was happening. Same with Everton. I went to watch Everton play Arsenal at home, and there was a lot more people going to watch that because it was a big game. But it's difficult as well because a one women's football reporter, and it's very difficult then for them to kind of spread themselves throughout all the clubs. I've seen this a few times, you know. They're kind of on their own, and they'll go, you know, they'll maybe cover some of the London teams, and then people will be asking them on Twitter, why you're not covering, you know, Man United, why you're not covering, you know, Liverpool, Everton, and it's, well, they can't be sort of in two different places at once. It was the same with the press conference as well. I think Spurs held a press conference. It sort of made waves on Twitter, and it wasn't very well attended, but I think there was a similar press conference for another club at the same time, and sometimes you think clubs need to have a bit more communication with each other as well, and as well with the FA and stuff like that, just to help to kind of, because until you get more kind of women's football reporters and people focusing specifically on women's football, they are going to be kind of thinly spread throughout all the clubs, and they can't kind of cover two things at the same time. So that's a difficulty as well. But It's difficult with a few of the national places. When that thing happened with Emma Hayes heavily criticising Liverpool, I think a lot of people jumped on it because they thought this is a great chance to kind of go at Liverpool men because they're not funding the women's team properly and they're not supporting them. And I've seen a few different stuff coming out like that when Liverpool obviously relegated it. People kind of thought it was a great chance to show a bit of interest because it's good to have a dig at the men's club rather than actually kind of looking deeper into the stories or even kind of, you know, bothering about how women have played this year or taking an interest in their development throughout the season. So yeah, there's a lot of work in that respect.
So moving on then to, you know, the growth of what we've seen in the Women's Super League over the last couple of seasons, what do you think is the next step? Because, you know, we're sitting here now and we're kind of talking about the challenges and how we can improve, but, you know, I think clubs and the media should still be given credit for how far along, you know, it's come, probably in the last couple of years or so, and definitely trying to develop an interest. You know, we've got more teams now going professional, You know, you look at the facilities that the Everton women, for example, are given, you know, the exact same as the men alongside Finch Farm. You know, the money that some girls are being offered now. I think, you know, a case in point would be Chloe Kelly. You know, this summer gone to Manchester City and, you know, had offers from Spain and big money offers that she turned down to stay in England. So what is now the next step for the Women's Super League, for the Women's Championship, for Everton, for Liverpool, in terms of profiling and keeping to kind of pushing the names out there and increasing, you know, the visibility of women's football?
Yeah, I gave this some thought earlier and I picked out three areas that I think I would like to see as the next step. I mean, I'm sure that there'll be more to that, but one for me is a takeover of the WSL. This is something that's been discussed for a while. Obviously, the Premier League have been linked with it. There's been a couple of other stakeholders that have been linked with it recently. I'm not sure where I want that takeover to come from yet. I still haven't decided on that, but I do think a lot of the issues around women's football, and this is absolutely no secret, is surrounding money. So a takeover naturally, you know, would bring investment, and with investment you can work with a lot of things. So for me, a takeover would be the next step. Hopefully more broadcasting deals as well. Obviously, we saw last season Barclays got involved in terms of obviously sponsoring WSL. There was more TV rights, first overseas broadcasting rights in WSL, which I think was no coincidence with Manchester United coming up into that league as well. But I'd like to see more domestic broadcasting as well, especially if the new seasons in the Championship and WSL start behind closed doors. I think it's absolutely vital that we get more broadcasting domestically. Obviously, the FA player was a fantastic step. So you've got to give the FA credit for that, because that was a brilliant initiative, which means that, you know, people can go and watch highlights, they can watch games. But I think that needs to come from an outsider as well. So then, you know, you can invest in high quality commentating, punditry, all that kind of stuff. And then the third one for me really is prize money, increased prize money. That's in domestic cup competitions and obviously in the WSL and the Championship. Because if you pay these footballers what you think they're worth, the product improves, the interest in that product improves, because what you're watching on pitch is naturally better quality. And then you build from the top down to the bottom, because, you know, by improving the product, by improving the quality, you're then generating more interest from fans, from sponsors, from broadcasting. You get more money into the game, and then naturally you can then start to reinvest that into the grassroots and then improve, you know, the lower leagues below the Championship and the WSL. So for me, they're the three things. But like I said, I'm sure there's plenty more that I could pluck out of somewhere. But yeah, they'd be sort of the next things on my list.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
The broadcasting is a good point, isn't it, Taylor? Because for people who didn't get the joke earlier, I was invited down to Finch Farm earlier this season to do a penalty shootout with the Everton women's team ahead of the derby, and I think I saved one penalty out of 12. As someone at Everton until I was 16, I still count myself as a half decent goalie. And you know, for someone who sees the girls so closely, say that you obviously know how talented they are, and they deserve to be seen by a wide audience, I think, don't they? And in turn, then, you know, drive a bit more revenue, drive a bit more, you know, publicity, and in turn, money back into the game.
Absolutely. You know, these girls are, they're so technically gifted. Women's football, it's no joke. And I think that, you know, so many people will say, it's not real, and there's nothing that boils my blood more. And so many of my, you know, friends I've even said to them that mightn't have been to women's games before through me working with Everton, I've gone, get yourselves down here and watch it. And the reaction that you'll usually get is, oh, well, I didn't expect it to be that good. But this is the thing, and, you know, even from when I was a kid, the terms of football and ability and what you see, it has improved, obviously, because there's been more investment and stuff as the years have gone on. But that's only going to get better, as you say, as more investment comes in. Like what I said about, you know, wherever it comes from, the takeover. We've seen Barclays come in with the sponsorship, which is great, but yet we need more sponsorship. We need more money in there. The fact that, as you said, Liverpool women will be playing in the Championship next season, and if them games aren't on telly, then fans aren't going to be able to watch their club play. And I think that's just a joke, to be honest, the fact that you might be able to watch your club play. Yeah. And it's been the same even with cup competitions, though, you know, the Continental Cup. You can't watch your team play. You can barely get commentary. And I think, how are people meant to follow it if you can't even watch the game? I know some good friends of mine that work, they do podcasting around the women's team, and you know, one of their real concerns was, how are we going to do what we do? And they're so dedicated and they're so great at what they do and they're so passionate and they love it. And they're genuinely concerned that they mightn't be able to watch their club. And then how are we going to talk about it and give the fans feedback on it if we can't see it? And, you know, that's the kind of thing that needs to change. And people need to make more effort into making sure that all games are broadcast, even if it's the viewing figures to start with aren't, they don't see it as making of money for them or whatever. It's only going to grow when it's out there. So yeah, more money in the game, and then clubs can do more. You know, it's great when you see clubs do things, you know, merging the men's and the women's team together for media things. That's great, but don't just do it for a photo shoot. Don't just do it to that, you know, clubs, those that are fortunate enough to be affiliated with a Premier League club, I feel like there's no excuse to neglect the women the way that they are sometimes, and everybody can do more for that. So media, more coverage of all the games, and more money, because these girls need motivation to stay in the game and give it everything. Because let's not forget, some of these girls now are still thinking of their career after football. A lot of them are. There's players that you think are at the top of their game. We referred to Chloe Kelly before as well, and you know, there's somebody who's very much all about football, because she turned down big money from other places to stay in this country. But we're not going to lose on players because the money's not there to support them, and you know, not just their playing careers, what they do off the pitch. There's still some girls who are barely making money from playing football, and when they want to play football for their national country, are ending up sort of out of pocket, and things like that have got to change. If you want to be professional, you need to be treated, and you know, professionally as well. And as I say, I think everybody can do more for that. But yeah, lots to do, but I do think I'm moving in the right direction, despite my rant.
what are your, are you following a similar line to Emma and Sarah? And do you have any ideas of your own that you'd like to see implemented?
Yeah, I think for me, it's bridging that gap between the top clubs in the women's game. So you've got the historic top three of Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, and then kind of bridging the gap between not just them, but the rest of the clubs in the WSL. You've kind of got the likes of Everton, West Ham, United, obviously, kind of investing in, I think West Ham have just built a new training facility for their women's team. Obviously, was there at Everton chain at Finch Farm, and United have kind of put a bit of money into their women's team. But it's also kind of bridging the gap between the Championship. I think that's kind of the next step for me. You've got all the clubs in WSL full time, but a lot of the Championship clubs are still only part time, and they're still kind of, you know, working jobs in the day and then training in the evening. It's very difficult then for the clubs to kind of, you know, if they've got to play a WSL club in the competition, there's sometimes still a huge gap between, you know, it's only one league difference, but there's sometimes still a huge gap when Man City can kind of play their reserve team, but it's still a team full of internationals, where against, you know, a team of girls that are still playing part-time, and that standard of the Championship's only going to get better when people can, you know, focus fully on football. So that's probably the next step, what I would say. And yeah, I mean, broadcasting, I think there was positive news this week that BT are going to show the Women's Champions League games. I'm not sure if they're free-to-air. I presume they might be. I think the men's game's going to be free-to-air. So that's a positive. And I know BBC Alba are showing Glasgow City's game, which is good for Scotland as well. Obviously, two British teams taking part in that competition. But yeah, it's about visibility and getting the image out there. One thing that's quite good in London with when big games are happening, I think when Arsenal played Spurs, there were kind of adverts all around the London Underground of watch the London Derby. I didn't see as much of that in Liverpool when Liverpool playing Everton, in terms of kind of that would probably have been quite an easy thing to do, but it's just little things like that can sort of increase the visibility.
And sticking with you for a moment then, Catherine, obviously when you came down to Liverpool and you were really interested in the women's football and driving it kind of out there, how did you find Everton and Liverpool to, you were here for a really exciting time, which was that Anfield derby, which I was cheering for, which Everton won at Anfield. How did you find Everton and Liverpool to work with? Did you find them helpful? And do you think that was your experience a positive with the two clubs, and does that bode well, for the future of local women's football around Merseyside?
Definitely, yeah. Both clubs were very helpful in terms of giving access to players. They couldn't have been happier to put a player up for interview, or you can speak to the manager, which was it made it really easy to do, because you could do quite a lot of different pieces. Easy to go down to the training pitch to speak, and after games as well. Liverpool had a tough time last season, but after every game, Vicky was more than happy to come out and speak and front up, and she. Say that she didn't have to do it, she was the manager, but there wasn't loads of press there kind of wanting to speak, but she did it every week without any complaints. Willie Kirk was very helpful as well, and to be fair, they were both Liverpool and Everton have always been kind of very quick to respond to emails and stuff like that, so yeah, I no complaints with the two Merseyside clubs in that respect.
And has that been your experience as well, Sarah? It was a You got to speak to Liverpool's new signing from Roma in the last couple of weeks, Emily Thestrup. Is it good to see, that clubs can be that kind of open with you and help you kind of, on this national platform you have, get new signs out there? And it wasn't just, Liverpool signing. It was a really good kind of exclusive interview with Emily. Is that something that you found to be quite consistent with Liverpool and Everton over the last couple of years?
Sorry, was that for me?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. I think both clubs, they can still do more. Like this summer, for example, given, the fact that WSL wasn't, it wasn't playing well. Everyone sort of went into shutdown mode with coronavirus. And I think every club across the board was guilty in just sort of shutting down altogether because they were scared of saying the wrong thing or putting players up, and people were absolutely screaming out for content, and it was the perfect opportunity to get women's sport there when men's sport wasn't on there. And I think both Merseyside clubs, along with everybody else, who certainly weren't alone, but they were probably a little bit slow to react to that. I had a couple of conversations with some of the people at the club, and tried to move that along. I said, look, I've got a gap here. I really want to do this. I really want to do that. And they were cooperative with that, and they were helpful. And eventually we got we got things moving. But Liverpool is, in particular, is a club that I've got a really good relationship with. The press officer, I know well. I did a bit of work with at the Echo. So yeah, I've got a great relationship there, and I get to a lot of the games because I'm local. So I think as Catherine said, Vicky is brilliant. She always comes out and speaks to press. The players are equally brilliant. Like, there has been times where I find it more on the cup games, actually, when it's sort of late night games and they need to get off afterwards, where I think it's more the club rather than Vicky, but they might say, can we not do it this week, which is a little bit disappointing when you travel that way on for a late night game, and they're the games that get, as Sarah said before, the cup games, they're the ones that don't get that much coverage. So I think those ones, they probably need to prioritise as well. So I'd like to see a little bit more there. Everton's brilliant in the sense that they're really, really good at putting players up. Liverpool are really good at putting Vicky up. Vicky speaks a lot. She gets in front of the cameras. I think they can do more with the players. Everton are kind of probably more the opposite. I think Willie gets himself in front of the camera as well, but I do think the club are brilliant at at getting the players out there and giving you sort of exclusive interviews with the players and stuff. So I think on the whole, like both clubs are pretty good. And Liverpool, certainly, I've massively seen their social media and their marketing sort of go up this summer as well, which is really exciting to see, because I think everyone's just absolutely on the ball with the fact that they need to have a smashing season and get straight back up to WSL. You know, they're all really, really disappointed to be there. Every single person involved with Liverpool, that's from, you know, people on the board, people working in marketing, people working sort of, you know, in and around the staff, whether that's off the pitch and on the pitch. So there's been a bit of a collective effort there this summer to really boost the women's team. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to see that. And that, obviously, that interview that I had with Emily, the new signing, was a perfect example of that. You know, I called up the club and I said, look, this is a big signing for you. You know, she's come from Roma, you're in the Championship, you on the BBC, we cover women's championship to the level that I want us to. Again, I've spoken to work about this. And I said, I was like, look, if you can, you know, give me an interview with her, I'll do the legwork to get a bit more information. You know, I spoke to a couple of people at the club. I spoke to a Danish journalist and got a bit more information. And that's where I think from the media, I think people can do a little bit more. I had to work 3 hours overtime to do it, which isn't ideal. But I was happy with the piece afterwards, got a nice response from the piece. And for me personally, that makes it worth it. But you know, the club were brilliant straight away. They were like, yes, we love that idea. I think I probably got the interview book 2 days later. And really sort of finished training and then obviously gave up her time to speak to me. So I was really grateful for everyone involved in that. And and hopefully we'll see more of that going forward.
And is that a similar kind of message for you this season, Sarah? Are you just kind of looking to do as much as you can with Everton women to get as much out there and drive as much interest? And, you know, obviously what we all want, we want people coming to the matches, you know, because it is a perfect, I do feel like, perfect atmosphere to come down and introduce, you know, younger children to the matches. And you know, if it's great, it's a great standard of football, isn't it? And do you want to see as many people getting down to watch the Blues through your content and what you are kind of able to produce online with the girls?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just seconding what Emma said there as well, I'm really frustrated at myself. I think throughout this lockdown thing that I've not put out more content. You'd feel like you sometimes go, can I do this? Can I do this? Because now is the time to be really pushing it out there. And sometimes it's just, you know, because the people are thinly stretched, like Catherine said before as well, it's like that's not the priority of things to cover right now. So I think I maybe need to push myself to personally do more as well for the women's game, not for Everton. But yeah, for Everton next season, it's perfect. We've got Walton Hall Park now, you know, a fantastic facility, purpose-built ground for Everton women to play all their home games there. It's nice. You've got fans right up close to the pitch. And a lot of the stuff that is wrong with football, but maybe the negative sides of football that you see in the Premier League, etc. now, and stuff that's gone missing. You've got VAR and all this. It's gone a bit mad, whereas it feels more proper football. You've got terraces. You've got the real, you know, stuck in. The quality of football is fantastic. And you hear people complaining about how football's not how it used to be. And I feel like for those that say that, get yourselves down to the women's. Go and get back to the women's team. If you want to see the tackles flying in, if you want to see people that are giving every single last thing they've got for the shirt week in, week out, because it's what they want to do on some massive, massive wage. Get yourselves there. Yeah, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and take into account a lot of, you know, what these girls are saying as well, and take a lot of stuff on board. And, you know, we can all help each other grow and grow the content. I've got to say, I've been impressed. A lot of Everton, you know, fan sites and pages have reached out to me and said, can we chat to you and can we have you on regular to talk about the women? I know yourself, Sam, you're keen to do a lot more with the women, and there is that interest from other people. So I think, you know, that's where you sometimes go, oh my gosh, I need a bit of help, because like when you kind of feel like you're doing it all by yourself and there is that interest, we need more people to get a genuine passion for it and just grow it, you know. That's what we want. We want all fan sites of all different clubs talking about their women's team. So let's see if we can push it on even further and really strike now, especially after the COVID situation. We know that that's going to have had a big impact. So we all need to pull together and push forward. But for any Blues, any Reds, like whoever you support, your women's team, get down and back them, because that's how it starts, you know, when we can, when it's safe to do so. And just show a bit of interest, and you'd be amazed actually how many people go into it thinking they're not going to like it or almost don't want to like it, and they do. They end up loving it. Look at United, they didn't even have a team, and now their fans, a lot of them said, we weren't. Well, now they've been army, and they are obsessed with it. And that's what you want to see, you know, you want to see people getting bitten by the bug and falling in love with it, as you've seen can happen. I'm rambling now, so I'm going to shut up, but you get...
I was gonna actually stick with you, Sarah, and move quickly on to on-field next season. Mm-hmm. You know, Everton top six finish, there's been a real kind of, I think the G's changed since Willie Kerr came in. You know, we've already signed a lot of defenders this season in the pre-season, strengthening the back line. You know, there's interest in Claire Emsley, Valerie Galvin, you know, could be massive signings, both of them. What are you thinking? What would constitute a good season for Everton this season? What do you want to see from the girls?
Well, I think, you know, firstly, just to touch on, I think it's fantastic to know that the FA Cup tie with the quarterfinal Chelsea is still going to be played in September, because yeah. I was gutted for our girls. That was a big, big game for them, and still the prospect to win some silverware. So that's massive. But I think, you know, we got a sixth place finish on points, expected points per game. I think for Everton, really, no, it's that fourth place finish that they've got to have in their sights as where to finish. Catherine and Emma spoke about the big three before, and it is very much Arsenal, Chelsea, City. I think it will still be between those three. But if Everton look to close that gap, maybe on the likes of Arsenal. There's been big changes at a lot of clubs. So I think if we can try and get a good cup run, firstly for this season and then next season as well, and in the top four, I think that would be huge. And yeah, if we can bring in Claire Emsley and Valerie, wow. And I really think we've signed a lot of defensive players, as you said. Shores up at the back. You've got players like Rasso already in there, Izzy Crimson, who are like two new signings, because we've yet to see him kick a ball. So I'm like a kid at Christmas to watch those two as well. So yeah, if we can get a couple more in on top of what we've already done, then, you know, I don't want to get excited, but we're going to win the league, Sam, you know. No, top four and a good cup run, I think, would be a good season for Everton next season.
And Emma, obviously, with speaking to Amelie, and also I think one of the best things I've read on lockdown, Liverpool women, why they were relegated in the same summer the men's team won the Premier League. Sorry, from you and Tom Gaddy. Anyone who hasn't already, I'd get onto BBC Sport website and you can read that. Yeah, that was a very good read. So you've obviously, you know, had a little bit of a deep dive into that. So for you, I mean, same question as I've asked Sarah, but for Liverpool, but they've got to win the league this season, haven't they? There's pressure on Vicky, I'd say, to get that done.
Yes, well, thank you. Yeah, definitely. I think anything less than promotion and winning the league is a poor season, straight off. As you say, all the pressure is on the players and the staff. They know that. You know, they play for Liverpool. There's pressure anyway. You know, it's one of the biggest clubs in the world, not just in men's football, as Amelie told me in the interview. Women's football, you know, they were back-to-back league champions only, what, 5-6 years ago now? You know, so there's a lot of pressure on them anyway. You know that. They need to be in the WSL, absolutely need to be in the WSL. So anything less than that, yeah, is poor. I'd like to see them go on a bit of a cut run as well, because, you know, they've got the squad there. I already know there's a couple of young players who've been training with the first team players the last week or two that have sort of, you know, been impressive, and they'll look to, you know, try and make that step this season. So that'll be exciting to see. But yeah, winning the league, anything less is a disappointment.
And Catherine, you've already promised me that you're coming down for the Chelsea game in the FA Cup quarterfinal. Hopefully we can both go and watch that safely at the ground. And also, I mean, it might be a little bit more difficult for Liverpool in the circumstances, but as Emma's pointed out, maybe a cup game. Hopefully we get to see Everton and Liverpool both turn out of the season.
What was the last bit of that, sorry?
Sorry, it would be nice to see Everton or Liverpool turning out of Goodison and Anfield next season.
Yeah, obviously it was a shame we had that game that was meant to be played at Goodison that was called off for the freak storm I think we had in February, and then obviously never got rearranged before the season was cancelled. But yeah, I think both clubs have made a commitment to hosting games at the men's stadiums, and to see it happen again would be great. Maybe a cup game between the two sides, never know if they meet in next season's FA Cup. But I'm actually very excited for Everton's season going forward, just because I think we've got the right man in charge in Willie Kirk, because he makes kind of doesn't hide the fact that he's an ambitious manager, but he's realistic with it. And I think they've got the right person in charge there, and Liverpool as well. I think have got the right manager definitely to get them back up to the WSL.
Just to finish then, I'll start with you, Emma, but same question for everyone. I'll come round for any aspiring, well, young women or young men listening who are interested in a career in the media. What's your kind of go-to advice that you give people when they reach out to you?
I think I'd say don't let anyone tell you that you can't produce the content that you want to produce. Don't let them say, oh, you know, that there won't be enough interest, there isn't enough room. There is. You just have to keep banging the drum, keep producing the content, be passionate about it, keep working hard, be prepared to probably tire yourself out. But yeah, eventually people will start listening. And just, yeah, if you do a good job about it and show that you care, as Sarah said before, you know, people in the game will see that. And that's the most important thing.
Sarah?
Yeah, that's it. If you've got the passion, please pursue it, because the game needs people that genuinely do care, and that's how it's going to grow. It's infectious. When somebody's got a genuine passion and love for something, I think that comes across, and you don't want to see women's football just being done as a bit part. You want it to be, you know, something that's really, really grows, and it's the next generation that are going to do that. So, yeah, don't, like Emma said, don't ever feel like, you know, be told that you can't do something or that there isn't a demand there, because it's going to grow. If people take that attitude and then go, oh, I didn't want to pursue that because I didn't think it was a career possibility, or, you know, that's only going to be detrimental to it. There are opportunities there. And yeah, if you've got that passion, and that's how you get to these opportunities, you know, you'll meet people, got the knowledge of the game, and there will be opportunities there for you. So please do pursue it, whether that's on the pitch or off the pitch as a journalist, media. The women's game needs passionate people, and I think it's only going to get bigger and better. It could be in the next 10, 20 years, you know, absolutely massive, which is what we hope. So definitely get involved, stay involved, and stay passionate as well.
And for Catherine, someone who probably be, you're in the early stages of your career, I think you'd be considered a hot prospect on Football Manager. For people who for people maybe who aren't as lucky to have me take you under my wing, as I did. What's your advice to people just starting out and wanting to build a career?
Get down to your local team, get involved with them. It doesn't have to be a WSL club or a Championship club, whatever level they are. They're probably going to be happy to get a bit of exposure. It doesn't matter how many Twitter followers you've got, starting small and then working your way up. And yeah, as Emma said, just keep banging the drum. It might take you a few years to kind of get people to listen, but the more you kind of keep going with it, the more likely you are to kind of get those interviews with the top players. And again, a lot of them are very open to being interviewed. I've never come across a women's football player that's not wanted to be interviewed or has given, you know, kind of answers that they don't want to be there or something like that. So it's a great way to get involved in football, and yeah, just keep going with it.
Well, Emma, Sarah, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed it, and I think obviously the four of us, we could have carried on loads of stuff we haven't covered, but hopefully we can all reconvene when the season gets going and make this a bit more of a regular thing. If you did enjoy it, I think the four of us are all quite easy to search out on Twitter. Send me your thoughts. You email me quite easily, sam.carroll@trinitymirror.com. Any more things you want covering, any more, you know, women's issues that you'd like to see on our website, please just give me a shout. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining me, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue podcast from the Liverpool Echo.